always take it serious.
Yeah, you think they're serious pains in the ass. What's in your coffee? Mine's raspberry white chocolate.
Mine's just regular coffee with hazelnut.
I don't like nuts.
Are you? That's a lie. That's a bold. You're not even recording this. Are you recording this?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
You need to leave that in there. No pun intended.
No pun intended. Oh.
But,
oh my God. So I had somebody not this morning, but the morning before when I got up, but they were a no call, no show. Mm-hmm. And I can't, for obvious reasons, I can't just leave. So I worked an hour and a half longer than I was supposed to.
So that's money, money, money.
Dude, it's like $30.
$30.
That the government will probably keep. Well, they'll be like, that was overtime. That was overtime.
They will only keep 3/4 of it.
Yay! I don't work overtime for that reason. Because after they take out taxes, it's like, look, my check is $10 more.
That just means you need to work more.
Fuck that. No, I'm not a slave for anybody. But
so I have to tell you what happened last night. So we started fostering a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Real pretty, fawn, boxer.
But you already had a dog.
We do. Well, she started bleeding last night, so we had to rush her.
Oh, no.
The dog ER. So we don't
know. Poor doggy.
We're waiting to hear what happened.
That's like Percy's favorite kind of dog.
They're sweet animals.
I hope she's okay.
I don't think Julia slept at all.
Poor Julia.
She's still crying today. And not because she's married to me.
Well, she has one of the biggest hearts of anybody I've ever met. So, and that's why she's able to stay married to you. So I'm sure a sick animal really upset her.
Yeah.
It would have upset me too.
It was pretty scary. So did you want to go ahead and close this out and hop over to the interview?
Oh my God. I'm so nervous. I should have Kahlua in this. Oh, hey, fuck you, by the way.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I shared it everywhere because I don't care if you make fun of me, but I do. And I just had like a disclaimer. I'm like, I drink once in a blue moon now and it hits hard and now I'm catching shit. This is Brent's meme. People loved it.
I don't know. It made me laugh.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you, kids?
How are you?
Good.
Meh. I'm fine. I'm actually good.
Is it early for you? Where are you at?
I am in California. It's not really early for me. It's 9:41. No, just got a lot going on. Just, you know, tour coming up and just shows every week and flying around. And my daughter's in Arizona. Her name's Arizona. She's in Arizona with her grandma working on a play for the summer camp. And then she comes home in 2 weeks and just missing her. Me and my wife are missing her, but we're enjoying time to ourselves. So I'm just got a lot. Like, I got a list of things to do today that's kind of crazy. But at the top of that list is talking to you guys. What's going on?
Man, I'm done. We don't need to go any further after that. He said we were number one. I mean, we appreciate that. Thank you for getting on. I want to thank Barry for helping line this up.
Yeah, but she's phenomenal. She's really busy. And she's awesome. She, not a lot drops through her fingers. She gets me all the good stuff for sure. And I'm really appreciative and thankful that you guys wanted to talk to me. We got a lot going on.
Hey, can I ask what part of California? And I'm only asking because I'm just a little bit homesick.
Where are you from originally?
Bay Area-ish.
Okay. I lived in San Francisco. For years, I got sober in San Francisco back in
really?
The 80s. Yeah, late 80s.
That's a hard place to get sober.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Sister, every place is a hard place to
right.
get sober.
Yeah.
I'm from Southern California. I grew up on the west side, Santa Monica, Culver City, Venice, and then moved away. And I lived in Oregon for about 20 years and moved back to Southern California. So I live in Pasadena, Pasadena, home of the Rose Bowl.
So did you write all that down so you can drive by his house?
Yeah, I'll be I won't.
You're gonna find my house.
Just show up with like coffee and cinnamon buns. Hi, I'm your friend now.
Well, if you're rocking a Cinnabon and a Starbucks,
right? You're like, come on in.
We can have that. That's a conversation starter. I don't know how my wife feels about it. She am I? You know.
Well, it's for her too.
She's got one.
All right, I kind of wrote you an introduction, and I kind of wanted to do that. Do you mind if I do that real quick? Because I want to see how you react when I say something.
A little anticlimactic at this point, don't you think?
Right, he's just this thing he does. We just kind of let him do his things. It makes him happy.
Uncle Brent, you take it and run.
All right. So this artist is typically unknown as a member of the cowpunk band, the Easy Hoes.
They weren't cowpunk.
That's what it said when I was going through all the stuff. Were they cowpunk? They weren't?
No. Cowpunk was a thing from Southern California, primarily that existed in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. When I lived in San Francisco, there was an alternative country scene there. And I started a record label that documented that with a compilation of those bands. And there was influences of cowpunk, but it wasn't as rowdy. It wasn't as nasty and dirty and dark and dirty. It was more harmonies and more, it was a precursor to the No Depression scene that's out there now, you know. And this is in the late 80s, early 90s. But I put out a killer record that's, I think I need to reissue that. It's called Lazy, Loud, and Liquored Up. It's a great album.
That sounds good.
Right at the end of my drinking.
That's funny. So during your career, you've worked as a songwriter, performer, producer, radio host, record label artist, development person, and a political activist. On Friday, September 8th, you'll release Live at the Whiskey A Go-Go, recorded and filmed during Everclear's 30th anniversary tour. Let's welcome Art of Everclear.
Okay. The crowd goes wild.
Me and my daughter.
How old's your daughter?
17.
Oh, I got a 15 and a half year old. That's fun, huh?
Yeah, it's a thing. We're looking at colleges. And I do have to say, I was like, check out who I'm interviewing. I've trained her well. And I pulled up Santa Monica, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. And she was like, no freaking way. I was like, oh, yeah,
it's happening.
Yeah, no, she didn't. She absolutely didn't. Unfortunately, she has my
mom. I know. I've gotten used to that. With my oldest daughter, she didn't cuss like that. Kids today, it's just like, okay, who am I to talk? I mean, you know, I talk like a sailor. And
same.
It's funny because my wife is such a nice, educated, you know, when I met her, she looked like a Barbie doll, but she's Mensa. She's like 140 IQ, 145 IQ. Oh. She never cussed. And then she came on the road with us once to do merch because our merch guy went in the hospital a day before the tour. And then when she came off that tour, she was on fire with the profanity. It's funny.
It's contagious.
It is. And, you know, they're doing, all the kids are doing it in school. But that's exciting. You're looking at colleges. We're about a year or two away from that, but she just had a killer freshman year, made the president's list,
nice.
On the list and all that stuff. So
that's we're doing nice. Good
for now, you know.
So I have a 6-year-old in a
daughter or son?
Daughter.
Okay.
So she's like really she's smarter than any other kid, of course. But but
she might actually be though.
Sat down on my couch with her, and I was like, guess who I'm interviewing today? She's 6. And I go, Art of Everclear. And she's like, Art of Everclear. And I was like, here, this video. So I showed the video of you. I was like, do you recognize that song? She goes, yes, you do that song. And I was like, no. Because I'm a musician too, and I play some of your songs. And so she recognized that I did your song.
She's like, why is this guy doing your song, Dad?
She's so confused.
She was like, Dad, you're the greatest singer ever. I was like, no, I can name 10 million people that are better than me. She's so sweet.
I don't know what your experience right now with your daughter is with her dad, but most daughters, if they have a cognizant father in their life, tend to be, when you're a man, no one loves you like that daughter between the ages of 2, I'd say what, 13, 14? And then it does that.
Well, I had that experience with her, just me and her, like I was everything. And then for the past, I think since COVID, we've now I'm getting her back. So, I mean, COVID, it was hard. COVID was
incredibly rough for adolescents. I'm sorry to talk over you.
Fine.
It was rough for everybody. But you're in the sweet spot there, bro.
Yeah, you're in the fun spot. And she's so smart. She's so sweet.
She's funny. So let me ask you this. Would you speak about how you've been able to manage the competing priorities of career, family, and having me time or you time?
You know, I've done better jobs at it at different times in my life. And one of the things you have to throw in there, because in my world it's prevalent, is my sobriety and my recovery, which at times I've been clean and sober for 34 years, but at times I haven't been working my program and I didn't act clean and sober. You know, like when it came to being faithful and lying and just anger, rage, control, all those things, they all create dopamine, which I'm an addict for. You know, I'm an addict. And in the last few years, I've had such a really great experience with my sobriety that every aspect of my life not is only better, but they glue together better. So that's a long-winded way of answering your question. I just am very grateful, very present, and I just make sure I know where my priorities are. My priorities are my family. That's my priority. Then my band. But on top of it, I do have to have some me time. I always find me time. When I see little places in the schedule, I'm like, don't book anything there, guys. I want that. I'm gonna go walk down on, we're gonna be on the East Coast. Chesapeake Bay. I'm going to go walk down there and go get some crabs or something, you know. You know what I mean? It's just like I make me time. But really, to be honest with you, the things that give me most pleasure in life is being of service. It really is. So I'm a life coach as well, and I work with creatives. And I get a lot of joy out of that. And it's an income stream as well, which, you know, at my age is important because – who knows how long I'm going to be working. I got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis 5 years ago, seven years ago. And it's doing okay. I've got it holding it at bay pretty well. But, you know, the older I get, the harder it gets. And I have to work very hard. I work out. I swim every day. Yoga almost every day. Physical therapy 3 times a week. And it's all, the reason I mention all that is that I can't let one part drop. I have to do all of it. I have to make time, you know, but when I'm setting up my schedule, I get with my wife and I look at my daughter's schedule and we scheduled, okay, we can have times for this. And when I'm on the road, I make the point to FaceTime my wife and my daughter and we've been doing it a lot with the split screen to have all three of us on my little camera all at the same time. And you'd be amazed how much better that is than 25 years ago when I'd be on tour and I wouldn't see my daughter for weeks.
Yikes.
And it's a different world because of the technology, which is great. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. It does. So I appreciate you going into all that stuff. But you're also a licensed life coach, correct? You actually got the license?
I'm a licensed master life coach. It's different. Thing.
What does that mean exactly for our listeners who aren't familiar with that?
I've done a lot of school. And I'm working on my alcohol drug certification through college and with the idea of getting my my promise my mom before she died back in 2006 that I would finish school someday. I'd get my 4-year degree. I'm about a year away from it. So that's what I'm doing. But life coaching is not therapy. Life coaching is working with someone with a goal and being able to work through it. But also, I'm also an advisor as well. And I work with a lot of people in recovery, as a sponsor and stuff like that. And it's just a matter of giving back, but being of service for my family, being of service to anyone I meet is kind of the MO of being in recovery, if you're doing it right.
You've been working as, Everclear for like 30 years. That is a long time with one project. Not a lot of people are that lucky or work that hard, depending on how you look at it. Have you been able to maintain that? Just the music part of it.
Everclear has been my band. It's my mm-hmm. band. There's been different people in it at different times to more and lesser degrees, but it's always been my band. I've been the sole songwriter of the band. It's my vision, art-wise, video-wise. We're meeting with some video directors today after these interviews to talk about this new song that's actually a recorded song on the live album that's coming out September 8th, Live at the Whiskey A Go-Go. There's two studio tracks on it, and this one song, Sing Away, and it's about... I've had friends and experiences with teen suicide and bullying, and that's pretty much what it's about. We're still doing it. I'm not chasing the carrot like I used to, but I'm doing it because it gives me pleasure, and I like taking care of our fans and giving them new stuff. I have no words to make a brand new Everclear record, like spend a year in the studio making an album. I've done it like 11 times with Everclear and various projects. I don't need to do it again. Not right now. That could change. But right now, doing a song or two a year and super serving our fans, that's fun. That sounds like fun. Right now, unfortunately, do you guys know who Marie Kondo is?
Sounds familiar.
All right. Back during COVID, there was this Japanese lady who couldn't speak any English, who was Marie Kondo, who was on, I forget what, but she was all over. Everybody was writing about her. And she would go into your house and help you clean it out. And she would just like have you like, do you get any spark of joy from this item? If you don't, get rid of it. And that whole idea of like, I don't want to do anything that doesn't give me joy. Doesn't mean I don't clean up after myself or take out the garbage or do whatever I'm supposed to do because my wife likes that. She's nice to me. That gives me joy, right? So, it's a whole thing of like, life's just too short. And it doesn't matter that I'm 61. You could be 21 and have that attitude. And I think a lot of people after COVID do. And they're like, I don't want to work crappy jobs anymore. For minimum wage.
Exactly.
How do you do it? I'm gonna, I don't need all these things. I'm just gonna live my best life and enjoy it. And I think that's brilliant. I love it. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're fine.
I went off topic.
No, I'm good with you. We like going off topic here. We do wing it a lot. We're just trying to keep it real because we know you're super, super busy. And we want to respect your time. I would like to talk a little bit about the one song that has been released off the new live album for the Whiskey A Go-Go, Heroin Girl. Tell us about the live version of that song and how recording live at the Whiskey A Go-Go felt.
At the Whiskey A Go-Go?
Did I say that right? Yeah, I said that right.
I
have had I've worked 43 hours in three nights. So my brain is mush. I'm so sorry.
You both look fantastic. You sound great. You're doing a great job. The Whiskey A Go-Go is a legendary club. I think the Doors started. The Doors were the house band there in the mid-late 60s.
And, you're just living my dream and Brent's dream, and we're just enjoying it, watching you.
Well, I'm living my dream too. I mean, think about it. I still get to play guitar and sing in a rock and roll band. I'm 61. I've been doing this as my sole, source of income for 30 some years. And when I made the choice to do that, I wasn't famous or even signed to a record label. We said, if we're going to do this, man, we have to commit to it. And we worked side jobs just to make ends meet. I had a kid at home. And it was rough, but it paid off. And it was that kind of commitment that I think helped pay it off. But I'm sorry, what was your question?
I said, tell us about, it's all good. We're all tired. It's fine. Tell us about recording the video live there for Heroin Girl.
You know, we recorded the whole show. So that's going to be coming out piecemeal, and it's going to all be out by the end of the year. That's just one of those fan favorite songs. It was our first single off Sparkle and Fade. It got played in about 12 to 15 markets, and it did top five in every market that it got played. But a lot of places, especially in the South and the Midwest, wouldn't play it because it had the word heroin in it. So they wouldn't play it. And what were you going to say, Brett?
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's a country song. The lyrics are so country. It's like, found her out in a field about a mile from home. Face was warm from the sun, but her body was cold. Heard the policeman say, just another overdose. That is country. I was like, that's so Johnny Cash.
Wow.
It's dark.
I feel like grabbing a guitar and seeing if I can make a country version.
I bet you could. I bet it would come really easy.
Well, recording that was great. And, you know, we went through all the songs and all the video to see what would be a great single track. And we wanted to stay away from the big hit songs, but something more fan-oriented, something a little bit more harder. But to be honest with you, there's no ballads on this record. There's no keyboards. There's no overdubs. This is indicative of the band we've always been. Our records will be more produced. Growing up in the 70s and early 80s, bands produce their records, but when they go out live, they'd be more, you know, in your face. And that's always been my MO. So it's a hard-hitting song, and I think it shows the crowd, and it gives you a little taste of the excitement of what was going on that night, December 4th, 2022, last year.
Check it out. This is off Sparkle and Fade. This is called Heroin Girl. Yeah, I used to know a girl. She had two pairs of nipples in her. She drank that Mexican beer. We live on Mexican food. Yeah, wish I could go back. They don't understand that I'm happy in hell with my heroin girl.
Yeah, it's an exciting song. I'm so glad that you're going to release that because, you know, some people just stick to their popular songs. And that is, in my opinion, that's more of what y'all do. Y'all are just like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Let's go. Let's play. And I love that.
Pretty much. That's what we've always been. And Everclear fans know that. But, you know, a lot of people come see us play that might know our singles and they'll be like, whoa. What is going on? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to be this and this? No, man, they're trying to be whatever what they've always been. A cross between a punk, hard rock band with a singer-songwriter. That's what Everclear is. That's what we've always been.
And the guitar tone on that, the guitar tone on Heroin Girl on that live footage is to die for. It's thank so you. Thick and fat and just, oh. I was like, why can't I never get anything like that?
You can. you know what? And I love that you're asking. We don't use amps. We use Line 6 Helixes. We use a board that creates amp sounds, and we use them live. We use them in the studio. And I've had all these people go, oh, man, I know that amp. That's a 67 Plexi with blah, blah, blah. I go, it actually is. A 67 Plexi program, you know, live sampled amp. And it's just, it makes it so much easier for touring. And when we go on stage, we know what our amp sound's going to be like. I don't have a lot of noise on stage, so it doesn't compete with my vocals and I don't have to strain my voice. And also, we're doing so many shows. We're doing 95 shows this year. 95.
Yeah.
And so far, none have dropped out, so I don't imagine any are going to. And it's a lot. 30 shows on the tour that starts on September 6th. We're touring with the Ataris and a band called the Pink Spiders out of Nashville.
That's a great band name, Pink Spiders.
They're great. They've been around since 2005. Check them out. They're really
good. I'm
gonna. Cool. They're fun.
The tour starts September 6th. Do you know the first few cities you're hitting?
First one is Lexington, Kentucky, and then Nashville, Indiana. We are going to play Nashville, Tennessee, but Nashville, Indiana.
Right.
The Chicago area, actually Lamont. It's right. It's a suburb of Chicago. And then Fort Wayne, Indiana, and then Cleveland, Buffalo, Washington, D.C., Philly, Long Island, Boston, New York City. And it just goes from there. And we'll end up back on here on the West Coast in October. Our last show is on October 15th. We play LA on October 8th, I think. So, yeah, and we're playing San Francisco, a great club called the August Hall. Man, it's just a great tour. It's going to be a lot of fun. But on top of those 30 dates of those shows, we've got another 65 shows. We played 17 shows in Australia in February, and that was a great tour. Yeah. And I'm going back and doing a solo tour this next February. So we're busy, 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 and I'm working and working. And, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to work. I've got multiple sclerosis. I could be in a wheelchair. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Not with the way you sound like you're taking care of yourself.
I'm working
the swimming and the yoga and the physical therapy is going to do wonders. I'm a caregiver, so I just know.
Yeah, I am too. I'm a caregiver as well. I work really hard to, like, I do my medication. I do my diet. And there's also with my recovery, there's a spiritual aspect to it too that is really important. Like I said earlier, it's the glue that ties everything together.
Brent, do you want to ask about one more song before we...
I would. Sing Away, I found an acoustic version of that. An acoustic version in 2020, I think I found acoustic. That was fantastic. That song made me cry. But anyway, Sing Away.
Sing Away. Okay. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's on the live. That's on the solo record. That's on my solo record that came out in 2019, and which is more acoustic. Now, I don't know if you've heard this version. It's Everclear. It's rocking. And it's heavy.
I'm looking forward to hearing it. Year of the Tiger. I just have one question about that. Other than I love the guitar solo, why did you hold back lyrically in this song?
I didn't hold back.
He's being sarcastic. That's his.
You know what's funny is when I wrote that song, you know, I played it for a friend of mine, guy in a big time punk band. I go, yeah, it's kind of a protest song, man. He's like me. He's kind of a lefty guy. And he's like, dude, this isn't a protest song. This is a challenge. This is a dare. This is a fight song. I love it. You're trying to bring it on, man. And I'm like,
do it.
Anybody that knows me, I'm that guy. I don't shy away from fights, rarely.
Well, we need more songs like that right now.
I agree.
And I appreciated it. Brent appreciated it.
Thanks. I'm glad you like it. The way you said that was like, I'm like, I can't use the language I wanted to use per se, but I was like, get the out of here. What are you talking?
You can say whatever you say want.
The beautiful thing about podcasts is we're not quite as, it's not on the radio. We don't have to be quite as clean because it's not actually on the radio. So I have a little, you can drop an F bomb.
Well, fucking A.
There you go. It's my favorite word. It's a noun. It's an adjective. It can be.
And I bet you your 17-year-old has command of it like nobody's business.
She puts me to shame. I actually have to call her on. I'm like, you know, I am still your mom, right?
Yeah. My 15-year-old's like, it's still like, I'm still, you know, I'm 61, man. And I'm open-minded. I'm woke. And I'm all those things. And I say that proudly. But at the same time, there's a sense of propriety growing up with a single mom who's a Southern girl, right? And my mom, here's a really quick little story. My mom, I never heard her use the F word ever growing up, or the N word. And we lived in a black neighborhood and she had problems.
You weren't allowed to say that in our house.
But no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen in our world at all. And when my mom was about 6 months away, 6 to 8 months away from dying of cancer, you know, my mom met my wife, now. And when it was like when they met, it was just like they were like souls that had known each other forever and ever. My mom's taken around the whole party, introducing her to family and friends and stuff. And later I go, so what do you think, Mom? And I got to go to precursor to the third wife, where she's like, when she met her, she's like, oh, she's pretty, boy. I get it. She's young. She's pretty. I go, what do you think of her, Mom? And she's like, well, you really want to know what I think? And that scared the hell out of me. Because
I hate it when they say that.
Yeah, because I thought she was
what
just
is that?
I don't know. I don't know what I think.
You're like, if my mom ever says this phrase, do you really want to know what I think? You don't.
No. And I just went, I go, I came back down. Now, this isn't my wife now. This is my what everyone not affectionately refers to as my trophy wife, which lasted about 3 years. But she's like, well, boy, that pretty girl right there is dumber than a bag of hammers and meaner than a bag of snakes. She's going to try to take you for everything.
She called it, didn't she?
Let's just say you should listen to your mom. When she met Vanessa, she was like, she smacks me on the face. She goes, pay attention to me. You know, she's like, she's got her oxygen in and everything. She's like, that's the one, boy. That's the one.
There you go.
Listen to me. I love you. You're my favorite. You're my favorite child. I go, Mom, my sisters are right there. She goes, I don't care. They know. Man, when you're older ladies just don't
care. They don't care.
They're not playing at all. Anymore. Mm-mm. They don't care. And she's like, listen to me, boy. I love you, but do not fuck this up. Never heard my mom say the last word.
That's the only time. Do not fuck this up. Not
fuck this up. And
that's amazing.
Still haven't fucked it up.
Good job.
Probably fucked it up a little bit, but not too bad. We've worked through a lot. And man, she's just the best thing in my life. She's my best friend.
Don't you mean you've worked through a lot? There are some comedians saying, we're always working on me. Why are we working on me all the time?
Because you're the one that's fucked up.
Because you're the problem.
You're the one that feels the need to be funny in front of people. Right? That right there is a huge red flag to anybody. You know, I got to be on stage. Okay. That's scary. All right. You know, that's me.
Do you still have stage fright, or are you like ready to go?
I always have butterflies.
Okay.
If I don't have butterflies, it's going to be a bad show. I always have butterflies. And I've learned through just different like coaching and different things I've learned over the years that I've taught myself over, you know, being on stage for 35 going on 40 years. As I walk on stage, I just mentally turn that nervousness and fear into energy. So by the time I hit that, by the time I'm in the light and I hit that mic, I'm swaggering and I'm that person, which is still an extension of me, but no one wants that guy 24 hours a day. You know, that doesn't for guys and gals and bands who've lived like that, they burn out quick and they usually die young because you can't be that all the time. And I'm an extrovert. I'm definitely an extrovert, but I save it up for that. So to answer your question, I do still have some stage fright, and especially playing acoustic. I mean, it's easy to get lost behind the band and all the wall of noise and everything. And if I forget something or drop a chord or something, no one's going to know if I play it off, right? Solo, it's me and a guitar. There's no net, you know, and that's exciting and that's fun. And I try to have a sense of humor. If I forget the words, I stop and I make fun of myself, or I get the crowd to sing. And they always think I'm doing it on purpose. You know, I'll get them, so what's the first line of that song? And they'll start singing it. And, you know, and actually, I'm really forgetting. Hi, old guy. Yeah. But yeah.
Hey, right. Thank you for spending time with us. We said we'd get you off in 30 minutes, and we have. But we appreciate you and your time. And your song, real quick, your Father of My song, that's a good song to gauge yourself at as being a dad. So I think that's really cool. So sometimes in my life, I've looked back at that and listened to that and go, okay, how am I doing? And it's a good gauge. So I just appreciate you for taking time and writing that down. And I don't know if anyone's ever told you that they use it as a gauge, but it's a good gauge. If anyone listening, you know, wonders, do I suck? Am I okay? Go listen to that song and gauge yourself, you know,
which guy are you?
Yeah. Which parent are you in general? Like, are you the one that's there?
Not just physically, but are you there? And let's be honest, it's hard to be present 100% of the time. It's hard. It's draining.
Especially as a single parent. It's like.
It is. It is. Thank God. That's not my situation now. And my relationship with my younger daughter's 100 times better because she didn't go through divorce and stepdads and stepmoms and all that stuff. You know, that's hard. That's hard. It leaves scar tissue for sure. And that's something I learned, just to end it on, is that as a father, I always thought I was a great father, even to my oldest daughter, but I wasn't a good husband. I'm a really good husband, a great husband. I work really hard to be a good husband for my wife now, but I didn't before with my older daughter's mom. And you can't be a great father if you're not a great partner to their mother, because you're putting your child at risk. You're putting their happiness at risk by your behavior and your way of thinking. And that was something I learned from that. At least I learned it. A lot of men don't ever learn it. Ever.
Ever, 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 ever.
Ever, ever. No?
Nope. No.
It looks like Brent didn't need to learn it. He already knew it. So that's good stuff. But it looks like you started having kids a little later in life there, huh, Bubba?
Hey! No, I have kids since the 90s. I have one in each decade.
Oh, okay. So that's your baby.
Yeah. Well, no. That's the second youngest one. The baby is a year and a half.
He doesn't know what sleep is.
You're going to have babies in your, like, 80s?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just trying to perfect something. And I have a goal, and I'm just trying to perfect it. And maybe someday I will.
Well, okay. I'm going to take the bait. What are you trying to perfect?
God bless you. Thank you. Because I want to know.
You want to know what I'm trying to perfect?
Do I want to know?
A time and space where I'm actually a really good dad, and I'm not
already a good dad,
and I'm not questioning myself and things like that, because I think it needs to
question yourself. If you're not questioning yourself, you're not a good dad.
What he said,
life coach.
That'll be $250, please.
Yeah. We'll Venmo that right over with our three jobs.
Yeah, I'm not cheap.
But
seriously, I mean, if you're not questioning yourself, if you're not talking about it with your partner, with your therapist or someone in your life, and trying to get other ideas, and just you know, we live in villages. We need to make the best of the villages that exist around us. And you know, the old axiom of it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to be a mensch, to be a human being. It really does. And you have to be open to it. That's what I found in my life, personally. And I'm very grateful for it. I'm grateful for my sober fellowship, for my friends, for my family, and for my fans, because I have really good relationships with a lot of them. They're different, but I still listen to them and they listen to me and we interact. And it gives me a lot of pleasure. It really does. A lot of joy.
And I think I like you more.
We don't want to do it, right?
Yeah. I think I like you more now. I think I like you more. Damn you.
Well, good. That was my goal waking up this morning. So
that was it. He was like, I'm going to drink some coffee and make sure Brent falls in love with me. So
I haven't had my coffee yet. This is
you poor thing.
This nasty ass thing.
Actually, what are you drinking?
It's not,
I can't see it.
It's protein, some collagen, and then frozen strawberries, bananas, and orange juice. Usually when my daughter's home, I make the one with the cacao and peanut butter and bananas, and you know, she likes that one. Like if she's rushing, she catches the bus literally right in front of our house.
Nice.
I don't have a picket fence. I have a stucco wall with electric gates that we built when we got this house, because there's a bus stop literally right in front of the house, literally. And it's like, but it's great. The first day of high school, she was out there with her big old backpack. I can show you the pictures. The backpack's like bigger than her.
They're huge.
What is it with these kids in these backpacks? You know why? They don't have lockers.
That's what my daughter told me. I was like, how are you not going to have lockers in high school?
They don't have
lockers. And the books are like this thick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're going to wreck your back.
Yeah, you're going to wreck your back. That's how I feel about it. But she gets on the bus, takes the bus to the train, gets on the train, takes the train about 8 miles to her school, California High School of the Arts. She got accepted into the high school.
Nice.
And she's killing it. And she's looking forward to, she's stoked to get back. She's like, I'm actually excited to go back to school. And I go, yeah, that'll last for the first 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. And then you're going to be like, why am I getting up so early?
Oh, she gets up early, man.
So does mine. Like 5 a.m. I'm like, you're insane.
She gets up at 6:30 because, you know, you want to put on your makeup, you know, they're sitting there. That's more important than anything is the makeup. And it's like, okay, I don't care. Go, but I make smoothies for her. Or her mom makes, you know, peanut butter banana toast or something.
Yum, that sounds good
too. You know, what we do. If she gets up early enough, or if Friday she has a later day, we'll have breakfast, because we try to eat all our meals at the dining room table, which I didn't have growing up. I didn't have that kind of sense of family, you know, but we do. Almost every meal is together and we talk, and it's awesome.
That is awesome.
All right. I got to go.
Later. Dude, thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And
so nice to meet you. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Be good.
Have a good day.
Hey, thank you for hanging in here with us and listening to Art of Everclear. It was a fun interview. We got a lot of story out of him about his life, his music, his family. And so we appreciate him for taking time, and we appreciate you for dropping by and listening. I don't think I said fuck at all this interview, so I'm really happy about that.
Well, I fucking did. So I made up for it. Hey, make sure that you jump on that website for them. I have the description, or I have the link in the description section below. The tour starts September 6th. I can't speak English. So get your tickets in advance if you can. Also, remember to like, follow, subscribe, share, and download the podcast with your friends. If you would like to be on a show with us, you can send us an email at soundpollutionpodcast@gmail.com. I know it's long, but it's all one word. And I think that's about all we have today. That's about
that is,
it.
That is it. Did you tell them to download, subscribe,
love,
join our Patreon?
I swear to God.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, what's the name of Ray's website?
Ray Plays Guitar.
Can you spell that for me?
That was my favorite. That was such a fun interview, too. If you haven't listened to that one, you need to go back. It's absolutely chaotic, but it was fun. I think we have a knack for things being chaotic, and maybe we should embrace it fully.
We have
embrace the chaos. No, we are still, I'm fighting it because I need things to be more scheduled and easier to edit. But at the same time, our chaotic, those always turn out the best. I don't know. Just food for thought. Anyway, everybody, remember to get out there and make some.